If you know, you know. And if you don't know, then I highly suggest you do know. And that is obviously the iconic theme song, well, part of it, to the my most favorite show of all time, that is Succession on HBO and HBO Max. I'm rewatching it because it's really so good. I watch the entire series. I'm a latecomer. I watched the entire season, the entire series a couple months ago, and I was just like, I could not stop thinking about it. So I had to, you know, dive right back in and watch it again, because honestly, there's literally nothing on TV to watch. There's no new shows, and Just Like That isn't back yet. All the things that I usually watch are just over. It's summer, so everything's pretty slow. But I am really excited because at the end of August, the Lord of the Rings show and the new freaking Game of Thrones show is back, which is just so exciting. But, you know, I can't, you know, I have to wait a whole month for that. So until then, I'm just going to rewatch everything that I love, which is this. I'm going to probably rewatch Pam and Tommy, which is great. And yeah, but aside from that, hi, everyone. Happy Sunday night / Monday. It's I, obviously, Andrew. I hope you all had a stellar weekend, a great weekend, and a productive weekend. I had a really great weekend. Spent a lot of time with my dog, did a lot of walking. I'm still a bit jet lagged because I was just on the East Coast, and I'm actually going back to the East Coast later this week. So my whole clock body thing is going to be off. But that's the price you pay for being a jet setter. And I said what I said in the words of NeNe Leakes. I'm just trying to think of anything else to update you on. No, nothing. I have four stories for you guys today. They're good ones. Obviously, what's, you know, current in the news, J-Lo and Ben, a little bit of royal news, a little bit of Marvel news. And there was another story I had too, but I can't remember what it is because honestly, I'm tired, I'm fried, and it's summer, and literally my brain is off. But just because my brain is off and I'm tired and I'm fried doesn't mean I'm going to stop working, honey. Working, W-E-R-Q, work. So with that being said, let's talk. Oh, by the way, there's not much new news with regards to Chloe and Tristan and their surrogacy and their baby number two, which is, well, the news that I guess that did come out is that it's going to be a boy. Or that's what people are predicting because Chloe and Tristan wanted a boy. So that's very exciting. But aside from that, nothing else is new. But when there is, I will in fact jump on here and we will chit and chat about that. So yeah. Okay, anyways, the big story of the day is that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck get married in LV, Las Vegas. Now, this is really exciting because they were, in fact, engaged for many years before. They broke up and they got back together after J-Lo and A-Rod went Splitsville. Now, some might say, wow, how great. Second chance at love. It gives me hope. No, because it doesn't give me hope because, you know, love just doesn't work like that. I, at least in, you know, all the relationships with my friends and whatnot, when people break up, they're usually done. I've never been one of those people and or known any people like that where love, you know, reemerges for the same person or same set of people or three people. Because in this day and age, honey, like throuples, they're there. But I say all that to say, this is just, I'm very happy for them, and I'm not a hater. I'm not jealous or anything. I'm, like, very happy, so. Anyways, this is from E! News. Okay, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez have obtained a marriage license in Las Vegas. In a July 16th court filing seen by E! News, J-Lo notes that her name be legally changed to Jennifer Affleck. The couple that then tied the knot in a ceremony at a little white wedding chapel, a rep for the venue told E! News. E! News has reached out to the couple's reps for comment, but has not heard back. By the way, there's a top update here. This is after two decades, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez have gotten their fairy tale ending. The two married in a ceremony in Las Vegas on July 16th. After the engagement, a close source to J-Lo told E! News that the singer was, quote, ecstatic and can't wait to be his wife, adding she believes it is true love and was meant to be. Jennifer detailed the proposal in her newsletter. Oh, yeah, she did a newsletter about it. That was so funny. I remember that. No judgment. Just, it's a newsletter. It's like, you know, in the olden days when, like, they'd come out, those people with, like, the white wigs and, like, the little curly things, like, medieval times, and be like, hear ye, hear ye. Quote, I was totally taken off guard and just looked in his eyes, smiling and crying at the same time. Hard to get my head around the fact that after 20 years, this was all happening all over again. She shared, I was quite literally speechless. And he said, is that a yes? And I said, yes, of course, that's a yes. Okay. I love love. I'm very happy for people in love. No jealousy. But I think everybody's not surprised by this. I mean, yeah, there are a couple goals, you know? I mean, the first thought that came to my mind is like, to be a fly in Jennifer Garner's house right now, a fly on the wall to hear the conversations of, like, what's going on, I can't even imagine. I would love to know. What she thinks of J-Lo. I don't even know if her and J-Lo have ever been photographed together. But I do. I also was wondering when that whole thing happened, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when Ben Affleck's son, who's, like, 10, like, crashed a car at a on, like, a DMV. Not DMV lot. Like, a car shopping lot. A really fancy one. I was like, wonder what Jennifer Garner thought. Because she seems like she's a strict mom who's, like, got it together. And, like, doesn't let her kids screw around like that. And Ben seems like the fun Hollywood dad who lets his kid live the deluxe life with, you know, his amazingly cool wife. Well, formerly, like, fiance, but wife, J-Lo. It just makes you think, and it makes you wonder, those conversations. Anyways, how great, you know? Love is in the air. It, like, really is in the air. So, yeah, they got their fairy tale ending, and I'm glad that they, I mean, it's, I'm not glad, I mean, I am glad they got married, but it's so cool to know that they, like, just did a normal AF wedding. Like, I wonder if they're, I do wonder if they're gonna have, like, the glamorous wedding, or they're just, like, two normal, you know, kiddos who just hopped on a private jet to Las Vegas and did the damn thing. You know? Like Monica and Chandler. Oh, I love that episode so much. That's another show I gotta rewatch, because I need some Phoebe Buffay in my life, and I gotta watch The Comeback, because I need some Valerie Cherish in my life. So yeah, sending much love and congratulations to the newlyweds. Yes, girl, yes. Now, this brings us to our second story of the day, which is the polar opposite of love news. It is, in fact, unloving news. Divorce news. But the reason why I picked this story is two reasons. The starlet that I am about to talk about is from my hometown, Cohasset, Massachusetts. And second of all, it's shocking, honey, shocking. And I've never talked about her on this podcast, and I'm a big fan of hers, and she's literally so strikingly beautiful. So I figured, you know what, it's time for Kate Bosworth's inaugural debut on the Mistress of Pop Culture podcast, because honestly, she's an icon, she's fabulous, and I literally don't have one bad thing to say about her. She's famous for her acting roles, but she also is very famous. She's one of those girlies who has two different colored eyes, like blue and green, I think. It's so chic. So jealous. I have, like, really dark brown eyes. Like, when you look at my eyes, you literally don't see anything. It's like looking into the night is dark and full of terrors. If you know that reference, then good for you. If you don't, then I'm not even going to tell you, because it means you're not a stan of one of the greatest shows of all time. Anyway, I love her so much, and this is a sad story, I guess. This is Page Six is reporting. Kate Bosworth files for a divorce from Michael Polish after 1 year after split. Very sad. Okay, Kate Bosworth has officially split from Michael Polish. The actress, 39, filed for divorce on Friday in Los Angeles court, ET reports. It comes almost one year after Bosworth announced she and Polish 51 called it quits after nearly 8 years of marriage. Page Six has reached out to her reps for comment. Bosworth shared a black and white photo of the former couple kissing in August 2021, accompanied by a lengthy caption revealing the news. Quote, "The beginning is often the best part of love. Fireworks, magnets, rebellion, the attraction," she captioned the post at the time. "The onset signals a wide open expanse of possibilities. Split a burger with someone when you are falling in love and you can die happily knowing that was your last meal. Buy a bottle of whiskey and share shots. Pour me a waterfall," she continued, referencing the honeymoon phase in relationships. Bosworth concluded, quote, "Inherently, we fear an ending. To lose what you have because you got what you wanted. To be attached to the expectation of the outcome, the great unknown. What if we chose not to fear, but instead to love? If that most delicate and vulnerable last flicker to the flame became another type of furnace entirely. Perhaps this will sound strange to some, romantic to others. To us, this is the truth." By the way, that's like the most brilliant POV on divorce I've ever heard in my life. Let me reread that. Okay. "Inherently, we fear an ending. To lose what you have because you got what you wanted. To be attached to the expectation of the outcome, the great unknown." That reminds me of Charlotte York in Sex and the City. Charlotte. She was like a diehard love girly, and she always believed in the happy ending. I don't know, just makes you think of Charlotte. Anyways, that's a great POV. But also, Kate Bosworth, as of late, has been photographed quite a bit with Justin Long, who I will forever know as the pen guy from He Just Let That Into You, that iconic scene with Jennifer Goodwin. Literally one of the greatest rom-coms of all time. I believe it's on HBO Max. You guys, if you haven't seen it before, watch it and have a box of tissues. You will literally be crying your eyes out. I saw it when I was a freshman in college in 2008, and I will never forget it. There's that iconic scene with that song, Somewhere Only We Know, playing. So good. Anyway, she's been photographed with Justin Long, kissing and dipping it and doing it, and clearly she's living her best life, and I'm really happy for her. But yeah, you know, sometimes love doesn't work out, and 50% of marriages end up in divorce, which is truly sad. I've always thought this about my life and my future. I will only get married If I ever get married, I never thought that I would. But if I were to ever get married, it would only be once. One and done. And fun fact about me, if I were to get married, it's not ending. I'm going into the grave with that person. Even if, you know, we butt heads or things happen. Nope. Because you ain't ever going to catch me getting a, you know. Well, here's the thing. I'm a ride or die person. I'm a ride or die friend. But like, I will like ride all my friendships. I mean, some of my friendships are better because people are like, you know, geographically, you grow apart from people. Actually, they don't really end. Just like you stop talking to people as much as you usually do. But I say all that to say, Kate Bosworth, girly, live your best life. And Justin Long is, I love him. I mean, I only know the movie star, Justin Long, but he clearly makes you look happy in all these paparazzi shots. I see, girly. So fun fact and very interesting story. And I love Kate Bosworth and I'm really happy to get to talk about her on this show. Okay, third story of the day also comes from Page Six. Literally the most dapper, handsome man on the face of the earth, Captain America himself, Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Chris Evans, is, quote, laser focused on finding a partner. A lot of romance news today. I don't know why, but it's just there's like love in the air, and this is why all these celebs are like chitting and chatting about everything. Okay, Chris Evans got admittedly candid. Hold on one sec. Ooh, sorry about the little bit of a glitchiness today. I had to reload the story, and all these ads that are popping up is making it very difficult for me to do my job, hunty. Okay, here we go. Chris Evans got admittedly candid about his love life, revealing he is, quote, laser focused on finding a partner to, quote, spend his life with. Love that. The Captain America actor, 41, stars in Netflix's upcoming film, The Gray Man, in which he plays an assassin obsessed with tracking down his target, portrayed by Ryan Gosling. Which, by the way, I've seen these paparazzi photos of Ryan Gosling as Ken from the Barbie movie. He looks so good. And then when you see him, like, not as Ken and, like, not as spray tanned, he looks so good. I mean, one would think like, oh, he's spray tanned, he's tan, he's gorgeous, and then when obviously he's not spray tanned, he's gonna be white. He is white, but he looks so good. He has like highlights in his hair, like, oh, dreamboat. Eva Mendez is so lucky. It was girly girl. Baby mama. Okay. When asked if he had ever been as intent with a search in his own life, Evans declared he was, quote, gonna give the interviewer a good answer. The answer would be that maybe I'm laser focused on finding a partner. You know, someone you want to live with, he told Shondaland in an interview published Friday. He explained that finding love is difficult in Hollywood. Quote, I mean, look, I love what I do. It's great. I pour all myself into it. But in terms of even this industry, it's full of pockets of doubt, hesitation, and recalibration in terms of really trying to find someone that you can actually pour all yourself into. Evan said, he continued, maybe it's about trying to find someone you're looking to spend your life with. Yes, maybe it's that. Look, I mean, if Chris Evans can't find love and is having trouble finding love and it's like a challenge for him, what hope do the rest of us have? Because honestly, Chris Evans is handsome, he's successful, he's famous, he seems like a really cool, down-to-earth, normal guy from Massachusetts who just is like living his best life and having to become a very famous movie star. Which, by the way, fun fact about Chris Evans, he went to high school with Jeremy Strong, who plays Kendall Roy in Succession, which I'm literally watching right now. And if you know Succession, Kendall is so good. But him and Jeremy Strong is also from Massachusetts. There's got to be something in the water from Massachusetts. Like, people from Massachusetts who come out to Hollywood end up really successful. Chris Evans, Jeremy Strong, Mindy Kaling. I think Matt LeBlanc is from Massachusetts too. Joey Tribbiani from Friends. It's just like, it's crazy. There's so many successful people. Like, yes, honey, there's got to be something in the water. And I'm from Massachusetts. Like, where's my success, hunty? Anyways, I'll say that to say, Chris Evans, I mean, I know you're probably a heterosexual male, but if you ever decide to change that and switch it up, I'm here, girl. I'm here. So, but good luck with him finding love. I mean, I'm sure you'll have no problem. I think Chris Evans should date ScarJo, even though ScarJo is with Colin Jost. Okay, you know, never mind. It's not going to work out. I was going to say Elizabeth Olsen, but she has her man, too. Who could we set Chris Evans up with? Who's like an iconic? I mean, my first thought was Simone Biles, because I was literally just reading an article about her. But I do think she has a man's. What am I watching? Blake and Leighton are taken. Who's like, I think Emily Ratajkowski is about to become single, like due to blinds and stuff about her alleged, you know, infidelity in her marriage. But I can't confirm that. It is in fact alleged. I don't know. I got to think on this, but there's so many eligible candidates out there. Oh my God. They're a little young. The new PLL girlies from the new PLL show on HBO Max. Original Sin. I don't know. It's, if I think of something, I'll put it out in the universe. I'll manifest it for him. But I don't think he needs any help from, like, me, because, you know, he's a good-looking man. So, anyways, this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day. A little bit of royal news from Page Six. A lot of Page Six content today, so thank you, Page Six. Queen Elizabeth annoyed. Meghan Markle won't reconcile with dad, book claims. Now, this is one of those, like, tell-all books, so who knows if there's actually any merit to these stories, but one might think. Okay. Lizzie, the queen... Remember that show, The Prince on HBO Max? That's not coming back because it got canceled. Unfairly. It was such a good show that followed little Prince, Charles? No, Prince William? No, Prince George! It was so good. Sophie Turner was in it. It was an iconic cast. It just made me think of that. Okay, anyways, like, let me get back to the story here. Let me go through my filing. Okay, where is this stupid story? Okay, it's not stupid, sorry, no offense. The Queen of Prince Charles urged Meghan Markle to fly to the U.S. and mend an increasingly messy dispute with her father, says a bombshell new book that also describes the buildup to Megxit. Quote, revenge, Meghan and Harry and the war between the Windsors, by British journalist Tom Bower, relates how Charles and the Queen had held a conference call weeks after Harry and Meghan's May 2018 nuptials, to try and mend the embarrassing dispute with Thomas Markle, although Meghan refused to comply. What bullshit. Sorry, excuse my language. Thomas Markle, now 77, had said he didn't attend the wedding because he was embarrassed about staging paparazzi photos, according to Bower. The retired Hollywood lighting director had also criticized the royal family in several interviews, claiming he had no way of contacting his daughter and fearing he would die without speaking to her again. Her father's claims contradicted Meghan's explanation that he was too ill to fly to the wedding, Bower writes. In July 2018, Charles had grown increasingly irritated with Meghan, quote, he had never really understood her or what she wanted, writes Bower. Quote, can't you just go and see him and make this stop? Charles said to Harry, according to Bower. During the conference call with Meghan and Harry, Charles and the Queen, Meghan said it was, quote, completely unrealistic to think she could fly to Mexico where her father was living and somehow hope to speak privately to my father without causing a frenzy of media attention and intrusion. That could bring more embarrassment to the royal family. Within 2 weeks of the call, Meghan and Harry announced on Instagram they were stepping back from their royal duties. As senior royals. Yeah, like, I think this is, like, the saga that's literally never gonna end. I don't think it's Harry and Meghan's fault. I think these I personally believe, my theory is this, that these royalists, quote-unquote, they put out these books to obviously make a couple pounds and, you know, have their 15 minutes of fame. I mean, who knows actually how much merit there is to these stories. I'm sure there's some truth, some untruth, some embellishments. I think the through line between all these tell-alls and news stories is that the father is Meghan's dad. Thomas Markle is like, has it out for his daughter. And don't even get me started on Samantha Markle. Literally, I can't. I have personal opinions, which I'm not going to say on this podcast because those are personal, about why some people come out of the woodwork when their siblings become famous. Wink, wink. If you know, you know. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not gonna read the book, but I'm gonna definitely read, like, the highlights. Ooh, I have to floss my teeth. I'm gonna read, like, the key points when this book comes out, because, honestly, I'm a royalist, I'm a royal girly, and I love the monarchy, and I love Queen Liz, but just shouldn't be dealing with this BS. Speaking of the Queen, I can't wait to see Imelda Staunton's, interpretation of Queen Lizzie, the successor to Olivia Colman, who is the successor to... who was the OG? Oh, Claire Foy. Literally, so iconic. That's the crown on Netflix. Literally one of my favorite shows ever. And Imelda Staunton, as you guys know, played the iconic role of Umbridge in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, as well as the part two, the last movie, too. I feel so bad for everyone involved. Meghan, Harry, Charles, Liz. I feel bad for Eugenie and Beatrice. They have nothing to do with it. They're probably just like my family's being... I would love... Okay, if I was a royal, I'd want to be Eugenie or Beatrice. Because honestly, they're like always in the news. They're not probably bombarded with paparazzi. But they're royals. They probably have access to the jewels. And they're literally living their best lives. I just love Eugenie and Beatrice. They're just like always like... when I see photos of them, I just cry. And I start clapping. They wear those fabulous fascinators or whatever they're called. Those gorgeous hats by Philip Tracy. Iconic. The fact that I, like, know that Philip Tracy designs hats for the royals, but I don't even know who, like, the government is like made up of is really sad. But that's my life and I am not ashamed of it. So you do you, girl, and I'm gonna do me. All right, everybody, that's our Monday. That was funny. Thank you. I'm talking to myself. I just can't. Okay, I'm gonna go. I have a lot of things I have to do, i.e. go to the grocery store and get food and then watch more Succession. So have a fabulous Sunday night / Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Andrew DeVito of the Mission of Pop Culture. You can stream my podcast basically anywhere podcast stream. Have a good one, and that's all I got for you, girl. Bye.